is Autumn Miles back with you, the Autumn Miles Show. You know what? I had such an incredible drive into the studio today, thinking about you, praying for you. I want you to know that there is hope in your situation today. All who call on the name of the Lord, we have such a benefit of having the Lord as close as we want him, really. We can call on his name and he hears, he answers us. And today I felt so heavily that there are some of you that are driving around and or whatever you're doing right now that need to know that there's hope. Maybe you've given up hope. I talked to a couple people in the last couple of days that literally have given up hope in their situation. And I was able to say, we do not give up hope, especially if we are believers in the Lord. And even if you're not a believer in the Lord, hope is in the name of Jesus. So that's how we're going to start off this show today. I'm telling you, Jesus changed my life. And he will absolutely change yours as well. And your situation, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, hope is in the name of the Lord. Welcome to the Autumn Miles Show. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. I got to do my plug every day because we have so many things that we are doing. God is just continually blessing the ministry, and we praise him. I have heard from so many of you guys. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for being so encouraging. You know, I love to hear it. I love to hear what show ministered to you right here on our show. You know, we're engaging culture with bold truth and raw faith. And I believe that that's what we need to do. We have a responsibility, Christian, to get into the culture, to speak life into a culture that preaches death. We have a responsibility to intertwine ourselves with unbelievers and show them not the judgment that we think may be found in Christ, but the love that is found in Christ. It is our job as Christians to bear the name of Christ well, and that means love your neighbor as yourself. So we are engaging culture with bold truth. I think it's important that these are the days we got to be bold in the days that we're living in. You know, when people are really killing Christians. They're doing all sorts of things to Christians. They're trying to silence Christians. We have to be bold because we have hope. That's why. Not to be bold for bold's sake, just because you have an opinion, but to be bold based on the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer. If he was the answer in my life, he is going to be the answer in the world's life, because I literally almost ended my life because I did not have him in it. And then we want to approach it with raw faith. And we have a great example today. Before we introduce her, I want to talk to you about our society group. Now, we have had several of these society groups that are happening right now at Bishop Arts. We go to this little place called the Laughing Willow. I went to this place called the Laughing Willow and did one of these society groups in Bishop Arts, and I am obsessed with this place. It is so cute. If you want a cute little eclectic outfit, you know, whatever, whatever, if you're like super hipster or whatever you are, this is the place to go. They even sell baby clothes. And I walked in there, and there is just warmth. The people that own this place are believers, and they're letting us use their room. And you know, I had the privilege of meeting the owners, Laughing Willow in Bishop Arts. We're going to have our next society June 23rd, which is here coming up in just a couple of days. I want you guys to come. This is a small group of women. Like, you know, we're talking, we do these society groups all over the country. And this is our Dallas-based group, and it's a small group. So I get to talk to you. There was a girl that came, shout out to Lori and her boyfriend, who also listens to the show. She came, she drove an hour. We've had several people drive for hours. We had some San Antonio people drive. You know, people are coming, and I get to talk to them. I get to meet them. I get to speak. We have awesome worship. Our girl Stephanie does worship for our society groups. It is amazing what is being shared at these groups. We're able to sort of pour into these women, and it is a women only event. Love you, men, but this one's for the ladies. But I want you guys to come June 23rd, the Laughing Willow. And just hang out. I believe it starts at 7. I don't even know what time it starts because, you know, I'm always there early. 7 to 9. And just hang out. You can go get some pie, which is right across the street if you want to when it's over. But we want you guys to engage with us. Okay. Here is our example of raw faith today. Now, this gal, it's crazy. I was getting my eyebrows waxed at the spa that I go to, and I struck up a conversation. All the women out there, come on, let's just keep it real. I was struck up a conversation with the gal that was waxing my eyebrows, and she was like, we started talking about Jesus and missions and all this kind of stuff, and she said, I've got this friend that I want you to meet. And I was just so inspired by Rosemary's story. Rosemary comes to us. She has founded an organization called Made to Thrive in Kenya. She has a great testimony. And I just want you to welcome to the show, Rosemary Zimbi. Rosemary, welcome to the Autumn Miles Show today.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Autumn.
I am so happy that you have joined us. I am just inspired by your story. And, you know, what you're doing in Kenya is incredible. But we're going to, of course, you know, plug your group, because Rosemary is here to raise money, which a lot of missionaries do. You know, they come to the States, raise support, and go back and serve. So there is a great giving opportunity. But Rosemary, why don't you share just a little bit about your upbringing, let us get to know you a little bit, and how did God sort of orchestrate you starting this ministry called Made to Thrive?
Well, you know, just like you've been saying, talking about real faith and how we have to be bold in Christ, and once you have Christ, you can be bold. That's kind of like it became like my motto as I was growing up, because growing up, all I had to hold on to was faith. Faith in stuff that I just couldn't see, faith in the life that I envisioned. As a kid, I grew up very, very poor, as you may know. And, you know, got abandoned at birth, never got to know my dad to this day. But at the age of 15, I got to know a dad called Christ. And I got to be, you know, engraved and so attached to Jesus and to God, and just had this faith that this God that owns everything, being my dad, I could have anything, I could do anything through him. You know, I started just internalizing the scriptures that spoke life into my life when there was nothing really to look forward to. And so I dreamt of a life away from the village, a life away from poverty, a life that just had joy, a life that had everything that I needed. I had no clue how that was going to come together. But I believe that by faith we are to see things that are not as if they are. And so I created this life in my head by faith that I was going to live. And so after coming from the village, you know, after high school, I went looking for a way out in Nairobi. And actually, you know, that faith sometimes, if we're not very wise, we can think it's faith, but sometimes I think we get led by our ambition. I think I was over-ambitious. Faith, I had tip, but I was over ambitious. So I came very, very close to being trafficked to the Middle East into sex slavery.
Wow.
I thought that was going to be a part of, you know, bringing me out of the poverty, and I was going to live the life of my dreams.
Wow. Let me just stop you. So, Rosemary, you grew up in extreme poverty in Kenya, okay? Which is what you just said. You grew up without a dad. Talk to me about the poverty in Kenya, because I feel like in America, unless you go on a missions trip, unless you're specifically, we vacation a lot to a lot of different places, but a lot of people don't understand what poverty is actually like in a place like Kenya. Explain to me how you grew up.
Well, you're right about that. When we talk about poverty in Kenya, poverty in America, it's not an orange to orange. It's really like an orange to apple, if I may. I grew up in a family of five. Well, a brother and three cousins that were raised by a widowed grandma. I got to see my mom once a month. And we would, for the most part, we went to bed hungry. Most nights we went to bed hungry. And when we wake up in the morning, we'll be lucky if we can have a bowl of grits. Grits without milk, no butter, no sugar, just a little salt, and we take that and go to school. And when we went to school, we didn't know if we were going to have a meal for lunch or not, because we just go to school because we have to go to school. And then sometimes we didn't have lunch. And believe it or not, we would get punished for not having lunch. Mm. And sometimes if we're lucky, we'd get some boiled beans and maize that grandma would bring us to school. And if we didn't get anything, we just had to go through the day and come back home and hope we'll find something. Sometimes we'll find boiled squash, mm. and that's all we'll have for dinner. And then sometimes when we're lucky, we'll have some cornmeal and some greens. I mean, meat was something very, very hard to come by. Wow. We probably have meat probably four times a year when there's a holiday, like there's Easter, there's Christmas, and maybe we have a visitor, and then they bring some meat, and then we get to eat some meat. So protein, the only source of protein we had was beans, which was also hard to come by.
So Rosemary, let me interject for a second. So you literally, you don't have meat four times a year. You may or may not have lunch. This is something that our kids today, and even myself, you know, unless we literally transplant ourselves to a place of poverty, we just don't understand. I mean, I think of my kids, you know, they have breakfast. They have, you know, really whatever they want. Lunch is provided. We pay for them to have school lunch, and then they come home. We have dinner every day. Most of the time, they have some sort of cookie or dessert or something like that for dinner. So this is extreme poverty that you were growing up in. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is because I love what you just said about this. You dreamed through faith of a life that you would eventually lead. You met the Lord when you were in high school. Talk to me about dreaming through faith about a life that you would eventually lead. I think that is so amazing because you never saw physically what you were dreaming about. So talk to me about that for a minute.
You know, Autumn, growing up, we were privileged to see, to encounter some missionaries that would come to the village. They used to come to the village churches. And one thing that struck me about them is that they looked different from me. And I wondered, why did they look different? Mm. And then when they came there, they had Bibles, they had clothes, they had food. And I wondered, where do they come from, where they have all this stuff that they bring? And we don't have it. And when they're gone, they're gone. For the whole year, we don't get to see them again. If we're lucky and they come through next year, we'll see it. So I imagine where they came from. I didn't understand English very well, but I was curious. So I always asked them about where they've come from, and all I know is they used to talk about overseas, and I didn't know where overseas was. So I started imagining how life must be overseas, whatever that was.
Wow.
That must be a place that has the milk and honey that the Bible talks about, so that's where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I envisioned, just, you know, if they have enough to for them and to bring to us, then that's where I want to be. I want to be able to live a life that has more than just enough for me that I can give other people. And I want to go to that place called overseas. And so I dreamt about that, and I believed that I could, because the word told me that if you believe, if you pray and believe and do not doubt, you will have it. And so I wanted to hold on to that faith. And honestly, I challenged God and say, if your word is true, I want to live this kind of life. If it is not true, if I don't get this kind of life, then give me a reason why I should continue trusting you.
That is so good. Rosemary, I have to stop you because I just feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying someone right now in their circumstances needs to believe in something that they can't see, that God has for them down the road. Someone right now in their circumstances needs to stand on God's word and believe that there is something greater for them that is coming through faith. I feel like that is such a word just for today. I'm sorry to stop you, but I just wanted to interject in that moment. You know, if that is you, take encouragement from Rosemary as she stood and believed, you know, it's something that she didn't see. She just had heard about. That's amazing, Rosemary. I'm sorry, continue. So you found out they were from overseas, and that was the U.S., right?
Yes. Well, though, at that time, though, I did not know what the overseas was. So I thought it was just one place called overseas, so I didn't know. So when I started meeting people after school, I went to the city, and I would meet people, and I would share my story, and I would share what I really want to do and the life I envision. And people thought I was crazy, but I went on with being crazy. Sometimes you have to be crazy when you're operating by faith. Yeah, you will look crazy, but I was okay with that.
That's right.
But anyway, so people pointed me to the U.S., and I tried, and cut my, I rolled my dice, and it worked, and I came to the States. I came to study here, but my thing was I wanted to come and study computers. Now, I had learned how to fix computers in the city in Nairobi because I was desperate. I had to learn something that can get me where I need to go.
Yeah.
So I learned how to fix computers in the street. I fixed computers, saved money enough to bring me to school in the U.S.
Mm.
And then I knew when I get here, then I will learn how people live out here. I'll hopefully be able to tap into the resources that missionaries used to bring back home. And maybe I can take it back home in whatever, you know, it might not be in the same magnitude, but I'll be able to take something back home. And especially the message of hope.
Mm.
The kids that are just out there languishing in poverty and in the slums and not thinking there's any hope. And I thought, there is no way that I just came here by chance.
Yeah.
I'm sure I came here because God wanted to use me to bring a message of hope to the kids in Kenya.
Mm.
And so so I came out here and worked. I mean, I went to school, and right after that, I started working. But at the point when I lost my job and I was jobless is when this organization was birthed, when I was jobless. Again, just by faith, because it disturbed me a lot that I wanted to do this. I don't have the money right now. And then I thought, you know what? You don't have to do it by what you have. You have to do it by what you can envision. And so I said, God, if this is from you, I want you to make it real. And I put a challenge in his face. And I said, I want to go home next year, which is 2005. And I want to take Christmas to these kids.
Mm.
I don't have a job, but I know by faith I can do it. And, you know, it all came together. I talked to friends, and people just overwhelmed me with contributions of gifts and stuff. And others shipped stuff to Kenya that I went to Kenya. My work was just to go and distribute.
Mm.
And from there, I knew that there's no turning back, that if I committed to God by faith, the same faith that brought me from the village, brought me to Nairobi, brought me to the U.S., and now has taken me back on a Christmas mission, is the same faith that is going to propel me to greater heights.
Mm.
And so I continued just on that path, and it became more than just Christmas. It became more about going to speak about message of hope and faith and the importance of education and the importance of dreaming and not losing your dream regardless of your circumstances.
I just want to recap. Those of you that are joining us, we're talking to Rosemary Zimbi. She's the founder of Made to Thrive. She's a missionary to Kenya, was born in Kenya. I love what you said. You can actually reach Rosemary at, I'm just going to spell it out for you, rosndavis@gmail.com. If you want to get more information, you can also go to Facebook, Made to Thrive. But I want to recap. You just said here you had dreamed of this life that you had seen through missionaries coming to minister to you. You learned computers in Kenya, came to the U.S., saved money, came to the U.S., lost your job, and, you know, had no money. And that's when Made to Thrive was born. And, you know, one of the things that we've spoken previously, but also you talked to my producers, you said you wanted to do something back in Kenya and you didn't have any money, but the Lord was your support. I think that is so powerful. Even it says in the Psalms, the Lord was my support. That's literally what the Psalm says. The Lord was my stay. The Lord was my support. And in your case, you're talking about the financial support. So talk to me about being homeless, but yet having this huge vision to minister to these kids in Kenya through this Made to Thrive organization that you started. Talk to me about the Lord is my support.
Again, going back to, you know, where he picked me from, and it wasn't the first or the second time. It was like every time when I was at my lowest, and I clung to God by faith and asked him, this is what I need, God. I need this. And when I get this, I need it for you. I need you to give me this. I need you to do this for me so that you may shine, not for me, but for you to shine through me. And I believe that the word, that when he says that, I know the plans I have for you to give you a hope and a future. And I thought, he's not giving me a hope and a future so that I can drown in poverty. He's giving me a hope and a future so that I can thrive in whatever I do.
Mm.
And so I believe that I was made to thrive. So that was like a reflection of my life. That's the way I saw it. I was made to thrive. And I felt like I was thriving, even at that moment when I didn't have a job, because I had a place to stay and I had an air-conditioned apartment. To me, that was enough. And so I thought, okay, God, I'm going to throw every little thing that I have into the bucket for you, and I'm going to launch this program. I'm going to try to do what I can in my own might. I mean, you pull me and take me wherever you want to take me. So he when I did that, when I committed to that and I started moving forward with the ministry, he found me a job. He got me a job. And I got a job that gave me 54% increase. I was earning 54% more than what I was earning in my previous job. And I honestly believe it was because of that step of obedience. I don't think it's because of my merit. I don't think it's so much because I was so educated. Because usually you don't just get a job and you have a 50% increase.
That's a and double so I, portion right there.
I'm sorry?
That's a double portion right there, 50% increase.
Absolutely. So I got that. And then I said, you know, God, because you gave me this mission, you gave me this vision, you're going to have to sponsor it because I don't know anybody that can stand behind me. But if you stand behind me, God, we're going to do this together. And quite honestly, all over the years, he's never left me alone. He's never left me behind. He's been right there with me. And all I've had to do is say, okay, I have this ahead of me that needs to be done. This gives me this. They need this. They need school uniform. They need food. They need a place to stay. They need a place to come for refreshments. And he has provided just for that need. He gives us what we need, not what we need for 10 years, but what we need now. The Lord's Prayer talks about, give me today my daily bread. And so that's what I've learned to live by, is daily sustenance. And as long as he can sustain me today and sustain the ministry for today, I choose to live by faith and I choose to follow him as my sponsor.
Give us this day our daily bread. What a word. Now, Rosemary, finances keep, I would say, oh my goodness, who even knows how many people finances keep from doing what God has called them to do? This is such an idol in our country, in our world, is money. Now, I know we need money to live, but just like you just said, the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God has promised us, he gives us what we need in the moment, not what we need for the next 50 years in the moment. So I need you to talk and encourage those people that are listening that maybe they want to go to Kenya. Maybe they want to start something or do something, but they have no finances and they can't see any hope of gaining them. Can you minister to them today? Because they are listening, their ears are perked up right now.
You know, it's a message really that can encourage anybody that has ever wanted to do anything with somebody to glorify God, but they feel like, I don't have the money. I was once there and I was just debating with God, and I said, God, you want me to do this, but I don't have money. But God, I don't have enough savings. God, I don't have a sponsor. I don't, because you want to think that God wants you to have so much so that he can use you. But no, God is really willing and waiting to use anybody that will just yield himself or herself to be used and then filled. I mean, to be filled and then used, because God will fill you up as long as you're ready for him to use. He'll fill you up. He'll give you whatever you need. He'll give you the physical energy. He'll give you the knowledge to go wherever he wants you to go. He will bring the people behind you that need to be behind you to do whatever you need to do for him. But the first step and the most important step is you have to take that bold risk by faith. It's a bold risk that you take. You have to say, I will do it. And then just dive in. It's kind of like you dive in. Like I like to say that I don't know how to swim, but if I have a life jacket, I can jump into the ocean. So if I have a life jacket of faith, then I can jump into anything that God is calling me to do. Mm-hmm. And that is really what I call bold faith, and you take risks, and you trust God. I think we're in a culture, we're living in a culture, not just here in America, but especially here in America, where we want to amass so much wealth. We want to just be so secure, and our security is in the money that we can save for the next 20 years, for the next 30 years. We don't even know if we're going to be here next year.
Yeah.
So we miss out on the opportunity to live the reason we are here. We miss out on the opportunity to live out our purposes. And then we just go through life, and then we come to the end of it to find that we lost it all. We missed it all. And it doesn't matter how much we try to amass. If we amass it, and it's not blessed of God, if we are mad people, we are masking it for our own security, and we don't trust God, then it's impossible to say that we live in God. I found that to be very, very true.
Thank you, Rosemary. I'm going to have to cut you off right there, but I'm telling you what, I feel like we got so many nuggets of truth here. You saw a life you wanted to leave, and you believed by faith, and God was your sponsor, and he brought you back to Kenya. You started this organization, Made to Thrive. Thank you so much for being such an example of raw faith to our listeners. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thanks for having me, Autumn. God bless you.
And thank you for listening to the Autumn Miles Show. We'll see you right back here next time.